And Roback can send as many catalogs to your home or pamphlets just advertising wood stoves as they may please. There's been some talk before the committee that the governor supports House Bill 2235. I have not confirmed that with the governor. However, I want to read bits of a proclamation from Governor Vicatia, dated August 25th of 1982, and I quote, "Wood as an alternative energy resource can make a significant contribution toward meeting Oregon's energy needs. Wood residues in Oregon's forests could potentially supply approximately 200 trillion BTUs of energy on an annual basis, or an estimated 30 million barrels of oil. Homeowners have reduced their efforts to seek alternatives to limited fossil fuels. America is going back to sleep, just as we did after the 1973-74 oil crisis ended. That time, as you will recall, we were rudely awakened by the sudden disruption of supply in 1979. Therefore, as governor, I hereby proclaim the month of September 1982 as Wood Energy Month in Oregon. We cannot allow ourselves to be fooled yet a third time. Congress has a responsibility to encourage Americans to continue their movement toward inexpensive, available, and renewable fuels for home heating," end quote. I think the policy of the state of Oregon has been and is to promote the use of alternative fuels, because in fact, one of the key things that having 52% of Oregon's homes having a wood heat in them is the peak energy load problem. And that is, wood stoves are used during the very cold months of the year. It does, in fact, replace the need for other energy supply mechanisms, such as nuclear power, coal, and other sources. So wood heat, in effect, is important. And it's important that the policies passed by this legislature clearly point out that it is not an inducement to stop that direction. We feel House Bill 2235 in its current form is that kind of a message and carries that kind of price. It has been suggested that there is a public opinion poll that highly supports the bill. I've handed that to you as well. I believe it was commissioned by the Oregon Lung Association. This is like a lot of other public opinion polls I've seen. It says, would you favor allowing only clean burning stoves to be sold in your area? The overwhelming answer is yes. Yet, when you look at the next question, how many are willing to pay more for those stoves? In the Portland metropolitan area, when it got to the level of $300, only 19% of the people questioned said they'd be willing to pay that much to promote that policy. In the rural area of Oregon, that same question at the $300 level, only 11% of the public said they'd be willing to pay that much for this policy. So again, I think the public opinion poll clearly illustrates that the way the bill is written now is not acceptable public policy. One other public opinion poll you should be aware of was the best of all.
Senator Stargovich?
Yes.
John, on that point, if somebody's willing to pay $300, they're probably willing to pay $200, aren't they?
Pardon?
If somebody's willing to pay $300, they're probably willing to pay $200. So don't you have to add up all those percentage amounts under $300?
I think it would be a decreasing figure instead of an increasing figure, Senator. I think more people would be willing to pay $200, fewer willing to pay $300.
Well, go ahead, I'll look at it.
I think if you added them up, you're going to get an inverse result that would interpret the results of the poll backwards. Another public opinion poll was taken in Ashland when the city council passed an ordinance that would allow them to restrict the use of wood stoves, and the people initiated through the referendum process and overturned that particular ordinance. Public health has been mentioned as a key cornerstone of this bill. Section 13 of the bill says that a portion of the airshed, doesn't say how much, but a portion, could be half, could be a third, is required to be given to other sources of air pollution, basically. A trade-off for an energy policy that can be helped through wood heat to one of giving other forms of commerce and industry that airshed. So I think the public health standpoint is important, and we agree with it, and we want to do something about it. But this bill as written does not save all of this air for clean air. It saves it for other polluters. It has been suggested to this committee that some of the industry supports this bill. And I know those of you that were here for the testimony, I need not tell you that primarily those who will benefit from the limiting of competition do support this bill. You had before you at the last hearing a person who sold one stove. One stove. Who thinks that stove will meet this standard? Obviously, it's in that person's best interest to see this legislation passed. Obviously, it's in the best interest of the Corning Corporation, who manufactures catalytic combustors, to see this legislation passed. You should also realize that concepts in design are also patented. And any manufacturer who wants to use that design must purchase those rights from the holder of that patent. So sure, there are people in this industry that support this bill as written, and I can't blame them. It has also been suggested that existing stoves are not affected by the passage of this bill. While that's true today, it will not be true tomorrow, because existing wood stoves must be replaced. So those consumers will be affected by the passage of this bill. It has also been suggested that a small share of the manufacturer's market is influenced by this corridor, maybe only 5% or 8%. With some manufacturers, that's true. For others, it is not true. It may be a major factor or portion of their market. But to a retailer, this is 100% of their market. It has been suggested to you that there is a growth prohibition in Medford with an implication that's due to wood stoves. I would suggest that you check the record on that, and that you will find that that growth prohibition is due to the lack of a filing of a clean air plan, not wood stove.
Still for long.
This bill will also carry with it, with this date of 1986 in it, a negative impact upon current manufacturers and retailers for their long-term financing needs. If you've ever borrowed money from a bank, you can imagine the questions that they'll be asked. Do you have a stove that meets this standard? Until sometime in 1984, your answer is probably going to be, we don't even know what the standard is yet. After that date, your answer is going to be, I don't know what the manufacturer is going to come up with. Or I'm not sure the stove I'm working on that I need to borrow this money to make will meet that standard. I think it will. So it is going to create that kind of a problem. The bill also carries with it, the bill before you, a fiscal impact. I don't have the statement in front of me, but I believe it's $170,000 in state funds. So the public policy question, as I said earlier, is not should we do something. It is how should we do it. We think it is to set the standard and testing method to go ahead and grant that authority, to get that in the law. That will move this industry. I think they should report back to the next session of the legislature on their findings and what that standard is. And the legislature then can direct, at that time when we know what it is, who it will affect and how it will affect everyone, what date that a mandate should be implied. The advantages of that plan, or of a program similar to that, would be that it would be statewide. We would not have this corridor bootlegging problem. We would not have a cost directly affiliated with it. We think it would minimize the impact on the loss of jobs in this industry. And we wouldn't have the advertising problems that I have pointed to. Our position is supported by the Small Business Advocates, by Oregon Small Business Council, and by the National Federation of Independent Businesses. Again, is it good public policy to implement a known cost, a tax, if you will, before the standards are set? Is it good public policy to reduce employment today for the promise of jobs 5, 10, 20 years in the future. To some in this industry, they feel like peons, quite honestly. That the big ones are going to get something, and us little ones are going to lose a lot. We don't like the moisture, we don't like the odor, and we don't like the stain. So we'd ask you, in all sincerity, to consider amending Angrost House Bill 2235 to make it more compatible with our needs as an industry, one that does amount to a lot of money for the economy of the state of Oregon. And we believe that we can move together toward the resolution of this problem in a meaningful manner. That, Mr. Chairman, I would stop and answer questions before or after Mr. Vick.
Questions for Mr. Powell at this point?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Day?
Mr. Powell, I have furnished with a copy of amendments, and I might as well have the staff get some notes for it. Mr. Chairman, would you pass those down for me? You've had a chance to read those, have you not?
Just very briefly, Senator, I did.
I guess the whole purpose there is to discuss, I went over to the Department of Commerce to determine what they're doing, because I had some information sent to me by some of the proponents of this legislation that were concerned that not only for the pollution, but for safety standards, and asked just what kind of standards have been developed, or how do we tie this in with the building code. The net effect of this is to set up a certification that talks on safety as well as air pollution. And I hadn't touched on, I don't think they, in fact, no, they don't. I don't think, Mr. Woodsock, you'll have to help me. I don't think we touched on the fact that in the section that has to do with advertising, I don't think the amendments touched that, but I think we could get into that later. But merely what it does mandate, it calls for a certification process and that people could apply to show that they meet those standards for the first 2 years, and they report back just how many have done it. Now, I believe that's the thrust you're taking there, and I just, if you want to react later, that'd be fine, but we did not touch on the advertising, okay?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Day, that is much more in line with something that we think we could join in actively supporting a program. We are not against movement in this direction. We think standards could and should be established. And in fact, the Wood Heat Alliance, the National Association, has now a committee investigating national standards. You can imagine the fear of a manufacturer in Oregon if 50 jurisdictions all develop separate standards. Not maybe only separate standards for the state, but perhaps even substandards within cities and local geographical regions, which would make manufacturing marketing of these products extremely difficult. So we are interested. We believe that if wood is going to remain as a strong potential energy source, that we are going to have to reduce pollution. In Canada, they are right now very effectively working toward emission standards, and because they want to use wood to replace oil.
If we were to pursue this, if we were to pursue this course of action, do you foresee it becoming a mandatory course of action with the next session of the legislature, if we could show that they did, both for the building codes as well as the...
Mr. Chairman, Senator Day, I think this industry would be in a position to potentially support a mandatory law when, in fact, the standards have been established and the testing methods established, and those questions are looked at in some depth. I think you can imagine the concerns on their minds in this area. If the business that you were in private life, was under this kind of guidelines and state policy, I think you'd too be concerned about what those standards are going to be, how they're going to be achieved, and how you would fit into that for the rest of your working day.
Mr. Chairman, after we have this hearing for Mr. Powell's application, I was curious just about, you know, how other approaches had taken. We'd heard testimony and so forth, and I've forgotten the city that was mentioned or something, but they've not really gone forth quite the way we were told. In fact, they just haven't. I've forgotten the name of the city right at this point. I have to go look at my notes, but I did have a discussion with the governor regarding this, and his feeling on pollution control is that it's time that individuals have to start to measure up. In other words, whether it be in recycling, we have a recycling bill here, if we ever get done with all these other things, where it isn't exactly a pussy cap. It's going to start to talk about mandatory recycling, an individual effort towards it. Motor car inspection, I think, where there's we're starting to see that type of effort being made and so forth. And I think his reaction is that it isn't just industry that, or you know, major industry, but that the individuals are going to have to start to measure this up. The fact that a certification program, a workable one, without you know phasing into it, I don't think it's troublesome. But the fact that he truly believes that individuals have to pay that price as well as industry itself, and I think it's only fair. I did take the trouble to assess that where it was, and I think that's consistent with his voting record. So I just point that out to the rest of the committee.
Chairman Serenday, I would not only think that would be his stance. I would think that makes sense. I've made that point when arguing some other issues in the past.
Yes, I recall that when you were a member of this body, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
It always haunts you, I'll tell you, John.
No, I think I'm totally consistent with that.
Any other questions? Okay, who's next on your...
Brian, did you have anything you wanted to add?
My name is Lyle Miller. I'm a wood stove retailer in Roseburg, Oregon. Certainly everything that's been introduced so far, I feel very, very strongly about as well. But I think there's one issue that really hasn't been addressed, and that's this. The industry has spent an awful lot of money testing stoves for safety. In Roseburg, Oregon, we're a legitimate retailer, we're a licensed contractor, we're bonded, and we carry the proper insurance. We make it mandatory that every stove that we install, and we probably install 60% of everything we sell, everything has to be inspected by the city. The county has taken over the city's job, but every installation we make is inspected. I'm concerned that if this bill is passed in its present state, that we will have a resurgence of homemade wood stoves. We will have a lot of bootleg stoves that will come in that will not be properly installed by a licensed and bonded contractor and will never ever get inspected by the county. And I suspect that the home fires that you'll see from that will go up tremendously. And I really feel strongly that somehow in this total issue has to be a program to encourage people to be inspected, to meet the codes. Because the wood stove today is a very, very, very hot and very efficient stove. And they're not the old stoves that you're familiar with 20 years ago that you could probably put within 2 or 3 inches from a wall. We need clearances, we need inspections, and I don't honestly believe we're gonna get it with the way we stand at this time. That's my comment.
Mr. Chairman, the document that I left with the committee earlier looked something like this, which was just a chart showing what would happen to the average price of wood stoves given the literature that's been produced. This shows you the math of the corridor. You probably have that this bill would affect. This is an article that was in the Statesman dated Saturday, February 19th, 1983. When it said, and I just read you the first paragraph in case you do not find this. It says, and I quote, the average supplemental security income recipient in Oregon spent about 46% of his benefits for heat, leaving only about $36 a week to meet other expenses, according to the National Consumer Law Center, end quote. Basically, again, pointing to the fact that many of the people that use wood heat use it because they cannot afford the alternative to wood heat.
John, I don't have that chart right in front of me. Where's the elbow there? What's the date?
Starting in about 1986 is when this would take place.
So the upshoot in cost would go at that would hit right when the mandatory provision.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the increase in cost is going to come in several different ways. One, there's going to be an increased demand, I would think, in the short run for wood stoves. I know. I had one guy tell me he's already purchased a wood stove because of the publicity on this. And of course, a lot of people have assumed that this is going to prohibit the sale, period, of wood stoves. And so there's been some misunderstanding. But we think that there will be a minor surge for wood stoves. Might not, it might be larger than minor. And then the loss of competition, there's an argument that once the standards in place and these new stoves that would meet a standard are on the market, that the price will go down drastically. But if you limit competition, wood stove sales are very, very competitive right now. Each manufacturer has several models, and I think that's another thing you need to keep in mind when you talk about the cost of the testing and that sort of thing, is that some may have 20 different models of stove to meet competition. And so there are hundreds of different kinds of models in competition out there, and that keeps the price of wood stoves down. If that's limited severely, then that those price reductions just aren't in the making.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, yeah, before
yes.
John.
Yes. Sir Stargovich.
Could you compare your arguments with the arguments that were used against auto emission standards? Don't you have the same kinds of...
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stargovich, no, and that's the point I tried to make, and I had thought about using autos, and I just didn't write it down. There is a real difference. Number one, when you deal with auto manufacturing, dealing with four manufacturers in this country and a few in other countries, the ability to take an engine that is burning a fuel that is consistent, run it through that engine, and use a device to capture emissions and reburn them is much different than a wood stove. A wood stove that may have a little wood in it, a lot of wood in it, wet wood in it, dry wood in it. And the manufacturer is going to have to manufacture a stove that will withstand all of those kinds of fuels, because those consumers are going to throw all those kinds of things at that stove.
But aren't there different standards in different parts of the country? The state of California has a...
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stargovich, as I know it, there is a national standard, and then some states have more stringent standards. In most areas of manufacturing, if the state of California produces a more stringent level, the rest of the country follows. That's why a legislator in California is probably much more powerful than a congressman. The fact is that in most cases, those laws are consistent. And they have, again, by adding certain devices to California cars, been able to, with a modest price increase, fit those cars to meet that standard. I believe the cars marketed in other areas of the state do not have, or of the nation, perhaps do not have that same device on them. But again, one little device could be added to an engine burning fuel, not so burning a standard fuel, but not so with wood.
Thank you. Nancy, is John here? Are you going to do the honors?
For the record, my name is Nancy Showalter, and I'm representing Oregon Environmental Council. The merits of House Bill 2235 have already been explained by DEQ and others, and rather than speak to those same issues, I'd like to address some of the criticisms that have been raised both today here and in earlier testimony. The question was raised about how to do something, and a suggestion was made that the days of violation are minimal and that wood stoves are only a part, and certainly not a majority of the part, of the problem. In DEQ's research, they have found that on a yearly basis, 60% of the particulates in, for instance, the Portland airshed are from wood stoves, which are used approximately 5 months out of that year. In addition, I'd like to refer you to the blue book, I think that you all have in your packets, to a page entitled Airshed Use in Clean Air Areas. Wood stoves in Lebanon represent 32% of the winter day space capacity. Also in Roseburg, 32%. In Albany, it's 46%, Salem, 51%, Corvallis, 59%, and in Grants Pass, 92%. Bend and Pendleton are near the non-attainment designations by EPA. The point is, how much of the airshed is available for growth when we are talking about this particular issue? Medford is already at a moratorium. How many other areas of the state might be very soon? There have been some policy objections raised over the standards. Vocal criticism was made early on that this bill would have a so-called phantom standard, since the standards would be promulgated by the Environmental Quality Commission and not set in the statutes. Opponents have complained that this would A, create too much uncertainty, and B, was improper for the legislature to delegate this important task. As you'll note on page 2, section 5 of the bill, the EQC must adopt the administrative standard no later than July 1, 1984. In earlier House testimony, it was perceived that the deadline was too short, that it would not give the industry a long enough period of time to, one, sell their stoves and react to sell the stoves that were already in their inventory, and two, react with new clean burning stoves for the market. Today we heard that it might be too long. It's approximately 1 year from the adjournment of this legislature, which is a particularly short period of time for complex rulemaking. In some cases, adoption of administrative rules for air quality management of major industry sources have taken several years. A one period time will not create unreasonable uncertainty for the industry. The argument about uncertainty is further weakened in light of the fact that DEQ has already published a technical paper which describes, in essence, a proposed draft standard. This paper was based on experimental research done during the past year. The paper was presented to the public on November at the EQC meeting, and every wood stove dealer and manufacturer in Oregon was mailed a copy. While it's true that the final standard may well be different than that proposed in the paper, it certainly will be reasonably close to the draft.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
Nancy, do you know if DEQ received any response from wood stove manufacturers upon sending that out?
I don't know the extent of the response. Perhaps Stan Biles or Al Young will.
Mr. Chair, are you finished?
Yes, sir, Dave.
The thing that I have a problem with is that, first of all, we say, well, we're only going to do it in the valley. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then we say, well, we're just going to get it new stoves. And if we're going to, I guess, design a program that where someone can get a stove that's I'm satisfied there are people making stoves that aren't necessarily good, period, whether from a safety standpoint or from a pollution standpoint. I'm just wondering if we aren't in some infancy stage that we should get. First of all, I just don't see a valley approach. We either have a statewide program or we don't. I mean, that's number one. That's my reaction to that. You can react to that in just a minute if you will. The second thing that bothers me is that we could have a clean environmental stove that isn't safe. And that troubles me. And if we're going to adopt some standards, we'd at least like to know how many goods, you know, actually measure up to those standards, both from a safety standard and environmental standard. And what is so wrong by having DEQ go forth with the standards to see how many could be certified for it on a program and then decide when to make it mandatory 2 years from now? What is wrong with that? What delay is that going to create any more than what we're approaching from this standpoint? Because we aren't going to get any closer to that, because they're looking at long. DEQ's rationale for this is that this may help some in the next 15 years, you see.
Well, I think I'd like to respond to your third question first.
Okay.
There are about 20 to 30,000 stoves replaced or new stoves inserted on the market every year. So if we are to set the standards now and wait 2 years for, well, actually, it would not go into effect until 1986, but we are delaying about 60,000 stoves, which would have some effect, I don't know how much, on attainment.
Well, okay,
The first issue, OEC supported a statewide mandatory program. We had to compromise in the House and would like to face the political realities that we do not think it's possible to get a statewide program through the House side on concurrence.
Well, I guess that's why we have two bodies. This isn't a unicameral system. I keep hearing what the House is demanding is being done. You follow what I'm trying to say?
And
yes. If we're going to write legislation that way, then we're wasting our time. We're wasting our time. And maybe, maybe not. But and I know that's not your fault, but I get a little angry. You're the second one today that gave me the same information, only on a different piece of legislation. And, you know, it's just...